from KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, how good of a guy do you have to be to get endorsed for a new government job by both the draggers and the community fish co-op types? I mean, really. Alaska's pink salmon disaster continues to make its way up the flagpole, and you, yes you, could get your crewman's license for free this year. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
With a new president comes new administrators for the nation's many departments. One of those openings will be at NOAA Fisheries, also known as the National Marine Fisheries Service. In a development that is sure to surprise everyone familiar with fishermen, one man has nearly unanimous support for the job. Chris Oliver has been the director of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council for 16 years, and even after all that time, he has still somehow managed to win the endorsement of groups that have historically been on opposite sides of the table from each other. For example, the Alaska Whitefish Trawlers and the Alaska Marine Conservation Council. Oliver has support from around the nation as well, with members of the industry and councils from New England, the Pacific, Mid-Atlantic states, Gulf of Mexico, Hawaii, and the Southeast states, as well as the National Fisheries Institute based in Washington, D.C., all rallying to support his appointment. Prior to serving as executive director of the North Pacific Council, Oliver also worked as the deputy director and Gulf of Alaska Fishery Management Plan coordinator. The pink salmon season in the Gulf of Alaska last year was recently declared a fisheries disaster, and Representative Louise Stutes stood behind the declaration when local governments were writing to Governor Bill Walker to send it through to the federal government. The declaration puts communities in line to receive relief funds, but Congress needs to approve the granting process, which doesn't always happen. But it is likely, says Stutes, and when that does happen, she says, they will send the funds to NOAA, which then disperses them among the affected regions.
I don't have too much to say about the process because I don't know the whole process yet on what it's going to take for the stakeholders to actually have some dollars in their pocket. I guess I'm just a little bit disappointed that it took the Secretary of Commerce so long to make this determination, but I'm sure that the presidential election played into it.
Stutes, who represents the North Gulf Coast from Whittier to Kodiak, is in the middle of the legislative session, which began just on January 17th, and says she'll soon know more about how people can apply for the relief funds.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Scientists recently announced they had found an Asian tapeworm species in pink salmon caught off the coast of the Kenai Peninsula. Humans can contract the tapeworm by eating raw or undercooked fish, but researchers say the risk is low. KBBI's Shayla Farzon reports.
For years, researchers have suspected the Japanese broad tapeworm was present on the Pacific coast of North America. But with improved genetic techniques, they can now be sure. In a recent study, a team of scientists identified a Japanese broad tapeworm larva in pink salmon caught near Hope. The tapeworm larva was tiny, about 10 millimeters long, and it had burrowed deep into the fish's muscle near the spinal cord. J.D. Ferguson is a fish pathologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and one of the study co-authors. He says the Japanese species looks remarkably similar to another fish tapeworm already present in North America.
There's been growing evidence that it's been here. It's just the ability to differentiate it with the similar-looking species has now improved with molecular testing.
Japanese broad tapeworm eggs were first found in wolf feces in British Columbia back in 2008. This is the first time larvae in fish have been found in North America, but it's likely this species has been present there for many years. That's why Ferguson says the name Japanese broad tapeworm is somewhat misleading.
Pacific salmon are on both sides of the Pacific Ocean. They've evolved on those sides for thousands and thousands of years, as has their parasites. And there's really no increased risk, no need to be alarmed.
Since it was first identified in 1986, the tapeworm has been found in several salmon species, including sockeye, chum, and pinks. Tapeworm larvae in raw or undercooked fish can infect humans and other carnivores. An estimated 2,000 people have contracted the tapeworm worldwide, mostly in Northeast Asia. The risk of contracting the parasite in Alaska, either from raw fish in a restaurant or at the store, is low. Under Alaska Food Code, businesses must freeze all fish prior to serving to kill parasites. To ensure the safety of personally caught fish, Ferguson says there are simple precautions to take.
There are FDA guidelines on how to prepare your fish properly to basically avoid any risk of infection. So that would be freezing your fish in the freezer, your standard household freezer, for 1 week, or cooking it to the standard recommended cooking temperature of 140 degrees Fahrenheit.
The study appears in the February issue of Emerging Infectious Diseases. In Homer, I'm Shayla Farzon.
Meanwhile, the cost of Atlantic salmon is about to go up, thanks to a dramatic rise in sea lice. However, Pacific salmon, according to an article in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer or online, probably won't see the same increase in price. Sea life have infested salmon farms in Scotland and Norway, two places responsible for a large portion of the worldwide salmon market. The wholesale cost of Atlantic salmon rose about 50% in 2016 as fish farmers attempted to combat the parasite, and those prices are likely to remain throughout this year. But the article notes the Pacific market may not see any unusual price rise at all, although there are any number of factors that can affect the price of salmon day to day. However, sea lice hasn't been one of them in this hemisphere lately.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced a promotional giveaway of 10 commercial crew member licenses this year. To be eligible, you must complete your 2017 commercial crew license renewal online through the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's online store. And then Fish and Game will hold a drawing on October 17th when 10 license holders will be selected to receive a refund for the cost of their commercial crewman's license. The seabirds that died by the thousands last winter in the Gulf of Alaska appear to be the latest victims of the blob, that huge body of warm water that dominated North Pacific marine systems during the last few years. That's the implication of a paper presented by Shannon Atkinson of the University of Alaska Fairbanks at the recent Alaska Marine Science Symposium. Atkinson and her colleagues looked at the bodies of dead murres that showed up in huge die-offs that were first noticed in Seward but were soon found on many beaches, some of them quite remote.
Dead birds all around, and there were so many that even the fox were having trouble keeping up with eating them all. So it was clearly throwing that ecosystem into an imbalance.
Atkinson said when their research showed a link between the starving birds and trawl surveys, it came up empty, or with only a few of the forage fish normally eaten by the birds, they had their smoking gun.
All of these little red dots are basically zeros, or you may as well make them little X's in the eyes of common murres.
The poor number of forage fish was due to several years of unusually warm water associated with the blob. The body of warm water was created by a combination of factors which heated everything up and stayed long enough to change the types of plankton in Alaska waters. Instead of the big fatty cold water copepods, the sea had lots of smaller, less fatty warm water varieties. And that meant less food for the fish that the murres like to eat. Well, we all love seafood, but would you eat salmon-flavored ice cream or use salmon oil on your dog? A Southeast-based seafood corporation aims to find out what innovations the Alaska seafood industry has when it comes to value-added products. KSTK's Aaron Bolton has more.
The Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation's Symphony of Seafood competition is nothing new. It's been running for 24 years, but the products contestants enter every year are innovative.
It's a competition for new products made out of Alaska seafood. We have four categories. First two categories are sort of some of our traditional categories, the retail and food service categories.
That's Julie Decker, the foundation's executive director. There's also a Beyond the Plate category, which features products such as salmon leather tote bags and pet oils. The Beyond the Egg category is for roe products.
This year we have two products entered. One is called a Batarga. The full name is Bruce Gore Coho Salmon Batarga. It's actually a dried salmon egg that's shaved, so something you could add on top of a pasta dish or something like that. It's really, really light and flavorful.
But what has to be the most interesting entry this year is candied salmon ice cream.
It's can be pretty polarizing. Sometimes people either love it or they hate it. So we've been trying to work on a recipe with more widespread appeal.
Mark Wheeler co-owns Copa, a Juneau ice cream shop that specializes in odd flavors.
But so we want to use local ingredients, like we make a spruce tip ice cream. We've even made Devil's Club ice cream. And so, you know, salmon is an obvious choice for a local ingredient.
The sockeye salmon is smoked, candied, and folded into ice cream with a caramel ribbon. Wheeler says he's been working on perfecting his creation for a few years and added that it's been logistical issues keeping him from entering the competition.
Yeah, I think my wife was saying, oh, you know, the fish guy, I think they have a challenge shipping fish around the country. Well, try shipping ice cream from Alaska. It's not easy.
Contestants like Wheeler compete against companies large and small, but it's a 10-judge panel that'll make the final call in Seattle on January 25th. Products are judged based on packaging, presentation, and obviously taste if it's edible. Winners of each category will go on to Seafood Expo North America in Boston, where they can show off their product to the greater industry.
And we provide them with booth space, and you know they get to show off their product, and sometimes they walk away from that event with new sales contracts in hand. So it's a pretty cool and valuable event for folks.
Decker added that the development of these products can be quite difficult, but says the value of what they're doing spreads industry-wide.
I mean, it's pushing the edge, you know, increasing value, diversifying markets. If you have always put all of your product in a certain market, and then guess what? There's a trade embargo. You are pretty out of luck. Product and market diversification is really important, you know, for the long-term haul in the seafood industry.
Winners of the competition will be announced in Juneau on February 22nd. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Aaron Bolton.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak, KBBI's Shayla Farzon in Homer, and KSTK's Aaron Bolton in Wrangell. From KMXT in Kodiak, where I'm confident I would not see my shadow on Groundhog Day, I'm Jay Barrett.